Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Nestled in the heart of Mexico, amidst the arid plains of Acámbaro, lies a mystery as perplexing as it is provocative. Discovered in the mid-20th century, a collection of thousands of ceramic artifacts challenge the very foundations of prehistoric chronology, depicting a bizarre array of creatures that resemble dinosaurs alongside humans in seemingly contemporary attire. These figures suggest an impossible coexistence that defies the established timeline of natural history. The discovery, initially met with intrigue and excitement, soon became the center of controversy and skepticism. Mainstream science dismisses the figures as elaborate hoaxes, yet certain enigmatic qualities of the collection resist such easy explanations. This case file, join the theorists as we dig into the dirt and dust off the disbelief and enjoy some tasteful dino erotica in The Mystery of the Acámbaro Figures.
Welcome to Alien Theorist Theorizing Case File 311.
You said it like four times before we even said it. You still hesitated.
I didn't hesitate.
You said 311.
You interrupted me.
311.
No. No. No, I wasn't hesitating. I froze a little bit. It was a glitch. I swear. Acámbaro figurines. I'm Braden.
I'm Sal. I'm Dan.
And I'm Andrew.
I think it was Acámbaro.
Acámbaro.
Acámbaro?
Acámbaro. Acámbaro.
You go to four different, you can watch four different videos on these things, you get four different pronunciations. Yeah.
Acámbaro.
I was going to wear my sombrero, but I thought.
Should have.
You should.
Should have. That would have been nice. You had a good touch.
With my Hollywood Hogan mustache.
Yes. Can we talk about that? Because
I can't wait.
Someone, what's this guy's name? I don't have it up now. John something.
Jigleheimer Smith.
No.
His name is
Jonathan,
my name too.
Jonathan Sweeney donated the full amount to get
Sweeney Todd,
Hollywood Hulk cell.
You got to pay for our costumes.
Zollywood.
Zollywood. Zollywood.
Zollywood. Zollywood. Yeah. Fucking hilarious. So funny. This is, little known fact about these things that I'm interested in is the two cool facts is one, this collection is almost entirely still intact, and two, what's not intact, you can find at a fucking Airbnb in North Carolina.
No. Bed and breakfast in West Virginia.
Yes. Sorry. Bed and breakfast. Yeah. It's just sitting on a mantle, and it's one of those, and it's got one of those bouncy heads.
We're finally talking about something I was born and raised on, is the notion that the Earth's only 6,000 years old and we've been around with the dinosaurs, all right? Mm-hmm. We're fucking around with them. We're riding stegosauruses and triceratops. We're fucking around with all the sauropods, sliding down their necks.
Yeah. Hanna-Barbera. That shit, that they like, that's documentary.
Hey, that's historic.
Fred Flintstone, that's real.
That's real shit.
That's what we don't understand.
I forgot that we're going to have such insight by Zell because he spent his whole elementary school days studying this shit.
We talked about how the pyramids were built. We've talked about it before, but
did they use the dinosaurs?
I didn't want
to
mention it back then, but yes, they used.
Was it like Flintstones?
Brachiosauruses.
Yeah,
they lifted them up,
sense.
Way up, flung them up to the next dinosaur. Then there was a fucking triceratops pushing up the ramp. That's how we're built. All right.
Yeah. So pterodactyl puts a top on.
Yeah. Flies down. Just drops a gold cap on.
The Dinotopia it's books. So those are nonfiction books. Like those.
Yeah. What's that? Heavy metal. Another documentary. Right. That's what I think. I don't remember there being dinosaurs. Is there dinosaurs?
Remember heavy?
You think about Dino Riders?
Barbarian lady. I remember maybe like Dino space
Riders.
Barbarian
Dino Riders
lady.
Was awesome.
Dino Riders was pretty good.
Yeah.
Cadillacs and dinosaurs.
That was a weird little cartoon show for like five episodes. Yeah.
It's well ingrained in our culture that, you know, perhaps one of our ancestors mingled.
There is no perhaps.
Yeah, it did.
We got fact. We have 32,000 fucking figurines that tell us that this was real.
Yeah.
Okay. Fact. Checkmate, buddy. Score one for the fucking
what
Christians.
People see, they mold into small figurines. We all know this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, I'll tell you what, though. This confuses me, though, because Zell's telling me he grew up learning about people and dinosaurs interacting, like the Flintstones. But I'm pretty sure I saw a Christian lady on fucking YouTube tell me that dinosaurs weren't even real.
Those people are out of their fucking mind, okay. Right? That lady. Of course they're real.
That lady's crazy.
Okay.
She's on the wrong page of this.
If you are a young Earth creationist, or you are just into the idea of dinosaurs coexisting with humans,
how'd you find our show?
Yeah. Or do you have a little fish on the back of your car?
Yeah. The Acambaro figures are something that kind of been around for a while, and I know I've seen them. Like they popped in my head recently because I was watching Ancient Aliens. I was watching a documentary channel.
Have you ever been
channel.
To any tourist trap in Cancun or Playa del Carmen?
Yeah. And like they popped up these popped up a documentary about this. The documentary is pretty old. I know it was old because it had David Childress in it when he was like really young.
Young and fit?
It was like skinny David. It was like no beard David Childress. Like a no beard, skinny David Childress. Well, like
didn't have to hide a chin.
Yeah, didn't have to cover up them chins. He was good.
and these figurines, like you look at these things and it's like, yes, they very much resemble the classic shapes or, you know, archetypal shapes of dinosaurs and
people fucking dinosaurs.
And people fucking and or wrestling dinosaurs.
Wrestling, but, just like your mom and dad did.
Just wrestling.
So these figures apparently their discovery took place in the 1940s, and it wasn't until the 1950s where they actually started becoming popularized and kind of word got out about them, about this collection of figurines that had been discovered by one Voldemort.
That's he who shall not be named, buddy. Can't just be fucking
these are just 30,000 Horcruxes, right? Yeah.
The archaeologist who lived, come to dig. No, you don't like my.
I love it. It took me about 10 seconds to realize what you guys were talking about.
Yeah. Well, it's either he has emphysema or he's talking like Voldemort. There's two choices here.
He's got all these the Mexican laborers digging every time he sees a figurine. Pick it up, pick it up, pick it up.
Yeah, this is so apparently he was a prominent German hardware merchant and also like a avid amateur archaeologist. And this guy was like, I mean, he had a fairly large collection of just like classical and like ancient, you know, Mesoamerican art, like he had kind of acquired, like just, you know, through his hobby of just collecting these things. And so one day in 1944 in July, apparently he was like touring some of his property or something, and he found just this, he saw what looked to be like a piece of
real fucking opportune time to leave Germany, by the way.
Yeah. He got the hell out of there just in the nick of before he. I guess Argentina was full.
Yeah, couldn't get a passport there. Just went to Mexico. And so when he was in this, apparently he was traveling along like a dried out riverbed, and he saw a piece of what looked like a piece of ceramic kind of sticking out of the ground. And when he went to go kind of peel it out, like pick it out, it was like, this looked to be some type of like clay figurine that it seemed to resemble, you know, something like a dinosaur shape, lizard shape, you know. And then so finding this piece of like finding this piece of art or, you know, artifacts that he found, he decided to kind of like get with some of the locals and be like, look, he kind of offered up a reward for them. And he basically was like, I'll pay
for his first mistake.
He decided that he was going to go pay out and be like, I'll pay people to find, to bring me more of these artifacts. Like bring me more of these things.
Everybody to gather as many of these fucking things as we can. And we're going to play the most ancient game of Warhammer ever. Oh. Like, just set it all up.
They're already made. Like you don't have to glue them together. So
one of the interesting things I learned while going in, like digging into this one a bit was,
ooh, I like digging in.
Yeah. He's
digging in. He's learned it.
The archaeology space is, I thought there would be a more collaboration. It seems like there's just camps that fucking hate each other. They're like, oh yeah, what's his digs record? What's his dig records? How would he dig? What's his dig history? And I was like, whoa, Jesus Christ. I was like, everyone's so mad, like asking like where they studied, what sites they've been on. I'm like, holy
fuck. Does it belong in a museum?
Yeah.
Does it not?
It's so weird because when you're an archaeologist, your funding just comes from either from like private donors or institutions. So you're pretty much
or life, Nazi Germany.
Your life is just based on hopefully you find something interesting and you can convince people to keep giving you money. So if you find something and then someone else maybe digs somewhere closer and they have a different theory and they could sell their theory to the investors better, then you lose your dig money.
What if Hitler sent fucking old Voldemort there because he thought this was going to be like a fucking, what is it, a terracotta army?
A dragon army?
Yeah. This is the secret to winning the war. Let's go.
Yeah, fuck the bell.
He was getting desperate in 44. He's chasing down any lead.
Any option.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
We'll pay for any of them.
No, they were still kicking ass in 44.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were.
Oh, I guess so. Yeah. So he's just like, he had money. He was just like, oh, fine. Yeah.
So eventually he amasses this large collection, which spans up to like over 30,000 figures. Like of these things, they're all like in the similar style of one that he had originally found, and bringing these all these things, and
you some know, of them a little bit more fucking well done than others,
right? So
some of them looking like your kids made them in Play-Doh.
Yeah, some of them like, are like ashtrays.
I like
with
the like way
the Mexican ones where it's like got the naked guy with his dick out.
Well, they just keep coming up to this guy with more because he's giving him a peso for every one.
Yeah.
He's a dragon, man. What do you think, huh? Is he his teeth?
I like the way that Childress actually, he wrote like an entire paper about this, about these figures. And I like the way that he described them. He goes, Jarlsrud, a prominent local German merchant, also found statues ranging from less than an inch to 6 feet in length, depicting great reptiles, some of them in active association with humans, generally eating them, but in some bizarre statuettes, an erotic association was indicated. Oh, to observers, many of these creatures resemble dinosaurs. So, like, I don't, if you, I mean, you pull up any of these figures and it's just like,
this is a true creation of reptilians.
Yeah.
This is how like, reptilians were created.
Man. I was like, this is a ancient depiction of how alien reptilian hybrids came to came to our earth, because it's those people.
This
look
is
like
a, this is a fucking clay depiction of what exactly will happen if Zell ever gets his hands on a time machine. That's what it is.
Going to fuck a lizard?
I don't need a time machine for that. They're still alive. All right. I'm spoiling it now. We're saying the dinosaurs are dead. Whatever, 6,000 years. They're still alive. Center of the Amazon jungle. They're still there. That's another case file, though.
That's fine.
Kong deep into Congo?
In the Vatican.
How is the archives of the Vatican? There's still some fucking small.
Oh, they probably got a couple of these in the Vatican.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's fucking alligators. Yeah. So why not?
Oh, yeah.
The Vatican houses the Leviathan for real. And that's the end of the world when they release the Leviathan.
Scary. It's terrifying.
They got what's Pandora's box in there?
Is it like a fucking like lizard, like Kurt Connard's lizards, or what is it?
The Leviathan is mentioned in the Bible, as some people use it as reference, as if you're a young earth creationist, if the Leviathan could be considered a dragon or a dinosaur, and they use that as some of their proof to like the Old Testament of the Bible saying that they talk about the Leviathan, therefore it kind of sounds like maybe some type of terrible like Tyrannosaurus Rex or like something like that. There's Leviathan and the Behemoth, I believe, are both.
Now, mentioned. Are they going to let this out purposefully, or is it going to get out? Like, what are we talking about?
I might be making that part up when they're going to let it out. Then,
but see, the thing is, it doesn't sound very outlandish. No, religion, yeah. Like, doesn't at all. Yeah,
the horsemen come down, the sky opens up, the ground opens up, Leviathan pops through, end of the world.
Yeah.
Could be that.
Does Leviathan pop out, and then the Horde of Babylon and Behemoth like fight each other? Like, is that?
Yeah, they don't fight,
Dad.
They should bone.
Is it a kaiju battle?
Guys, it's pretty much a kaiju.
And then they bone. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's what these figures indicate, anyways.
Yeah, that whole universe is also a documentary. Kaijus. Right.
Yeah.
Godzilla, all the rest. King Kong.
So over 5 or 6 years, Yildred is going around and paying 1 peso for each one of these figurines that's brought to him. And he amasses a collection of over 35,000 pieces. Some of them.
Almost as many as the new Pokemon, man.
Hold on a second.
It's impressive.
You got it. I don't like the peso's always been shit, right? Like comparison. Cause I'm just thinking like
made to the dollars, but yeah.
1 peso. For one of these, I'm like, I'm starting to think that these figures are worth, you know, even if someone's making them, the effort's worth more than 1 peso, right? Like, it just seems crazy to me. Like, just a single peso? This guy is making,
this guy's got Nazi gold.
Well, I think that's why they
got fucking Deutschmarks or whatever the fuck.
Yeah. He's fucking, dude, he's got the biggest safe at Gringotts.
Right? Oh, yeah, dude. For sure he does. He's got that Hans Gruber money.
So eventually he hires a local farmer as an Odilon Tinajero to go and dig in the area and then kind of bring up more of these things. So you find all of these figurines like depicting a variety of subjects. You know, they said that a number of them, yes, like a lot of the ones that you see look like, yeah, dinosaurs. But you've also got things that look like, some people say that some of the figures like have very like distinguishing features that kind of mark them as other ethnicities, like that weren't in ancient Central America, you know, whether they're from Africa or the Asian continent. And then you also have stuff that there are some that they say depict as some representation of like ancient technologies. There's little ones that they say like that's a flying saucer, or this one is some of them look like they could perhaps be extraterrestrial or ancient astronauts of some type.
So it's interesting that they make it sound like they're from like different ethnicities. So is that saying like these are made by different cultures themselves, or are they modeling it after different cultures? Or is this like the idea of like Pangaea where everything was connected back then, so they traded?
Well, it's also one of those things that people will use this, they'll cite that discovery or one of those these observations or these claims to also put into the, you know, there was a global civilization. That there is a trade or, you know, travel between different continents and, you know, different people and locations, and being like, okay, they visited here when obviously like at that time, you know, traditional science and history doesn't say anything about, you know, having Africans come over and visit the, you know, into Mesoamerica, any of those places.
And it's like, we know they had like a spanning like culture and, you know, the Mayans and stuff in that area, like there was quite an expansive culture of, you know, trade and stuff like that. So it's like, it's not out of the question to be like,
well, yeah, I mean, that's the theory of the pre-diluvian, like before the flood, their civilization was much more advanced, and these figures were modeled after that. Maybe these people in the area had been to Africa and other parts of the world, and they modeled what they seen, the little figurines, brought them back. It's kind of, that's what the theory is. The flood wipes them all out. Only 6 people survived the flood. Just 6.
No unicorns.
No, you gotta use those 6 people. You gotta pretty much breed with your family over decades and decades and repopulate the planet without getting all the birth defects and all the other stuff that goes with it.
How did they manage that?
6 seems like six is too low of a number, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
They're a different breed back then. They had very few genetic defects.
Yeah.
Genetic defects.
Yeah, the first few generations might be all right, but eventually you would think like, ooh, I mean, I'm getting pretty.
Oh, yeah. You'd have a few fucking hunchbacks in Notre Dame.
And their teeth probably would have been brutal, just like British royalty.
Looking like the Hills Have Eyes.
Just all scraggly, each fucking snaggletooth.
I think it's always stuff like this that's always really funny, that it's like archaeology is still kind of like, if you go back like 50, 60 years, you know, 70 years, like archaeology was still very like Wild West archaeology. It was just like people took a shovel and you fucking dug up whatever you wanted and just like, here, like, aha, like it, I put it in my collection, whatever. Yeah. And it was just like, you just get anything. Anybody is like, if you had a little bit of money,
another pickle,
like,
baby.
Yeah, pretty much. Throw it in your truck, and you take it.
What
do
you want?
That
you want 32,000 Pokemon pickle babies? I have everything you need.
Yeah,
huh?
Look at this one.
You
fucking
want the Bulbasaur? I have Bulbasaur.
Yeah,
buddy.
Eating the dinosaur. This one, he fucking
everyone.
Dinosaur.
You want to
fuck
dinosaur? You do what you want, my friend.
So a discovery of this magnitude, Yulsrud definitely wanted to share with the world. So in 1947, he published a booklet on the discoveries, and he called it the Enigmas del Pasado, or Enigmas of the Past. And these
That's
figurines.
What we should name this podcast that. That's way better than whatever the fuck you said. It's way better.
What is it called?
Case File 311, Enigmas of the Past.
Oh, that's great. Oh,
that's
yeah.
Unreal.
Oh, yeah.
So with the publishing of the book, they start to receive international attention. So on March of 1951, Lowell Harmer, a veteran writer for the Los Angeles Times, actually published an article, because I think he actually came down there to visit. And then the article was titled, Mexico Finds Give Hint of Lost World. Dinosaur statues point to men who lived in the age of reptiles. And so Harmer
that's
actually
a fucking
visited.
Cool thing. That's a cool thing at that time, because you're like, it's not like today where you like that information spreads very quick. Like we didn't know a lot about dinosaurs. We didn't know as much as we know now. So it's like you have something like this unearthed and you're like, shit, this could be like some sort of fucking absolute breakthrough. You have the, not to mention, there's some of them where we're fucking these things. Like, that's pretty, you know, holy, that's kind of, you know, that raises some eyebrows, I'm sure, around the internet. When they're flipping through, they're like, oh, this is amazing. Wow, look at that. These are dinosaurs. And then you're like,
whoa,
what is that one? What's that one doing? What's that guy doing?
People mold what they see.
People living in the moment, you know, no cell phones.
Fucking dinosaurs.
Right? There's sheep fuckers out there right now.
Yeah.
You know,
every generation's had
humanity.
A Mr. Hands.
So Harmer had actually visited Acambaro earlier in the year, and he had just like, he had been, you know, floored, impressed by the volume of the collection that Yulsrud had of these all in his house. And I can imagine, like, these are 33,000 figures in his house. Like, they must have been on like at every shelf, like everywhere. Yeah. Like, I just like, what the fuck? Where would you put all these figures?
Like, so you ever been to someone's house that's really into Christmas and they got shit like that? And you're just like,
yeah, there's a village.
Like, you can't step anywhere without like having these like little figurines sitting all over the place. I would just imagine, just like, holy shit.
He's got like an erotic section of these. Like, look at these ones. These are all the erotic
ones. Those are the
ones
in the bedroom.
Well, it's like, yeah, he said, it's like they filled, in his article, he was saying they filled the floors, the tables, the walls, the cabinets were overflowing with these things. And this is what Harmer kind of cited as like the convincing factor for him, is like, how could it be a hoax? Like, not even in Mexico, like Braden had already said, like money is already scarce. Like, how could anybody afford the labor to produce thousands of these statues at the low prices that Yulsrud was paying, like peso per one of these things?
Like, he's making
a
donation. I
visited this guy, all right? It's a fucking German dude in his fucking 50s, whatever, in his little house. He's got 30,000 of these tiny little fucking statues of people fucking, you know, lizards and people riding dinosaurs. Never seen anything more legit in my life. I'm sold.
Like, could you imagine? He's got so many of them.
These are my family. This is my welcome to my house. Have a seat. Yeah. Watch out for
watch your step.
For the,
watch your
be
step.
Careful. Yes. Und,
okay.
And this one, he's fucking the Triceratops. And this one, he rides it.
Yeah. The greatest discovery in all of man.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, even after that publishing of that article, you know, it gets even more attention. So it kind of starts snowballing. So the Mexican government actually gets involved, and they actually send four archaeologists from the Instituto Nacional de Antropología y Historia.
Well, they got it. They got, listen, if this is, they're like, Listen, if these are
making pesos,
they if some German's guy is someone's making pesos, we gotta collect. No, I'm thinking, they're probably thinking the roots of other countries taking them. This is like some sort of artifact of ancient indigenous people in the area that they're like, they're gonna take this away from this guy. They're gonna be like, yeah, sorry, these don't belong to you.
if you see something like this, and you know there's other claims, I would feel like they'd kind of be obligated to have to investigate these claims that you have these figurines that could potentially rewrite history, or you know, even if they're not not actually as ancient as they are, it's like still if there was an ancient culture that was there producing these figurines in the volume that that they had apparently been found, it's like that's still interesting in itself. So they send out these four archaeologists, and the archaeologists actually set up a dig site, which they said was about a mile from Julesrud's original discovery location at the base of the mountain called El Toro. And they dug a pit about 2 meters down, and they said that they found a number of these figures, dozens of these figures, similar to the ones that Julesrud found, like including the dinosaur looking figures.
So, Dan, you might remember this. I'm going to butcher it because it's been a long time. But you know, remember like in ancient Mesopotamia where they would like underneath the foundations of the houses, it's like apotropaic figurines or something like that, where they used to bury them to like protect the house. And they were the tiny little fucking monsters that I remember them fucking digging them up, and they would bury them underneath the foundations, and that would protect the house. Like, I wonder if this is similar.
It's like a gargoyle kind of thing or whatever. Yeah. It's like a grotesque or whatever you call them. Or actually gargoyles if they're a water spout, grotesques if they're just, they don't carry water.
Yeah. That show really fucked everything up.
Gargoyles?
That fucking dude, that movie, that show was unreal.
Should've been awesome. Called, what are you talking about?
Should have been called Grotesques.
Oh, yeah.
Not one of them spouted water.
Not that we've seen in the show.
Could be spouted
water. This is true.
They didn't spout water.
They didn't. Froze. The statues are frozen. Not one spouted water. They were grotesque. They could have been grotesque.
We should write an angry letter.
Yeah.
To Disney.
Well, they're redoing it.
Re-release.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they're redoing it, so we have to write to them.
Wasn't only one season of that show?
Gargoyles?
No, there was a bunch of seasons.
It had to be a bunch.
Yeah, it went real nuts at the end. It was real cool.
Rocked,
well, I'm just saying that because I love this long, but I actually have no idea. There could have been three episodes.
Remember watching that shit as like a fucking 8-year-old, and they're talking about pay a man enough money and he'll walk barefoot through hell.
There's an episode of the dude got a fucking he got a symbiote suit. He had like a robo symbiote suit episode where there was like
the guy got. I had the toy, and you press a button and it blew up.
What?
Fucking rad. Gargoyles is dope.
Yeah, Gargoyles is awesome. Gargoyles is dope. Super fun. And
bring it back.
If you get a chance to watch it again.
Pause this fucking podcast. Go watch Gargoyles.
Go watch every episode of Gargoyles and come back.
All of it.
Every episode of Grotesques. So we should
say. Yeah, because this is a good place for us to take a break. So we're going to take a break.
We're going to go watch Gargoyles. Fucking Gargoyles.
And then come back.
Let's go.
Right back. Look, you like Dan and you got a trip to Thailand coming up and you want to impress the locals? Well, then you want Rosetta Stone. It's been the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 different languages offered. It's got fast language acquisition. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. No English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. It's convenient, flexible learning anytime, anywhere. Learn on the go with mobile app or at your desktop on your own schedule. Rosetta Stone has amazing value. Lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's a lifetime access to 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off.
Sure, there's competitors to Rosetta Stone, but Rosetta Stone offers more languages and a lifetime membership. You could go over to Babbel and get 60% off, but it's not for a lifetime. That's why we're promoting Rosetta Stone today. All right, Theorites, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Alien Theorist Theorizing listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your damn life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today or look for the link in the show notes. Peace.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object. Overrule. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Gargoyles is dope. We watched it all.
Watched the whole series. All three seasons. Whole just series. Now.
Yeah, fucking 10.
So now that these figures have gained international notoriety, all of the attention comes to Yulsred, and it's like it's up to him to like fend off all of the naysayers that come up here, because it's like fucking everybody comes gunning for him. Like everybody.
Yeah. You're like,
first off, yeah, you can't just grab a shovel and call yourself an archaeologist.
Yeah, you can. I did it.
Did it. People have been doing it for 50 years.
You ain't found shit. Getting mad at each other.
So one of the more prominent archaeologists that came down there was an archaeologist that was affiliated with the Amerind Foundation, which from Arizona, who visited Acambaro. The Amerind Foundation, I guess it was around that time, they were mainly concerned with the conservation, like they specialized in the conservation and preservation of like Native American artifacts and culture and things like this. So they sent him down there to go take a look at these figures, and you know he was going to you know observe like their excavation techniques and like the work that they were doing to bring out to kind of recover all of these artifacts. So De Peso ends up publishing his findings in volume 18 of the scientific journal American Antiquity in 1953, and his conclusion was that these figures were fake. His reasoning was that their surfaces displayed no signs of age. There was no patina. They said there looked like in most of the figures, like it didn't seem like there was any dirt, like had been packed into the crevices, like they had been buried for a long time, or that would be an indicator. And he also thought
what a fucking hater. You know what I mean? Like how can you walk into this guy's house, look at all these things, and just hate like this?
You want to know why?
He's
trying to hide God.
Yeah,
trying to hide God.
Yeah, Voldemort was fucking hand washing each of the figurines brought to him for sure. Like this seems like a guy.
Well, he's got them displayed. His house.
Yeah, they're
he's
displayed inside his house.
Snuckling.
He
with
cares
him.
About these figurines,
especially with what's going on in those figurines. Like you want to see detail.
Yeah,
right. You want to see up close. You gotta.
Yeah. So there's no internet. Right? A lot of this was imagination. You had to work with.
But you don't even have like a Sears catalog.
Yeah.
This is all you got.
All you had was dinosaur erotic figurines.
The largest collection of dinosaur erotica in Central America. So then De Peso also makes the claim that he had actually, you know. Further investigating the claims of these figures, he said that he had found a family living in the vicinity of Acambaro that actually had made some of these figurines, if not all of them. And apparently it was like something that they did during the winter months when they were out working their fields, like which you wouldn't do. And it's just something that they did either as a hobby or it's something.
It's a fucking secondary income stream. Mm-hmm.
So,
fucking peso.
You're not fucking getting a lot of money. He's paying a peso per figurine.
But have you seen these figurines?
Yeah.
So De Peso comes out and says all of these things, and he says like these are 100% fakes, like that's his stance on it, and takes it. But the thing is, like some of the stuff like doesn't even really stick. Like a lot of people even come out and to refute against De Peso, saying that you know you went down there. A lot of people accuse him of coming down there with you know with a bias attached to him.
He's just jealous. He's jealous. He ain't found shit. The only thing this guy's probably found is a couple burnt corn cobs. Nothing else. Right. He's just jealous that some amateur is just everywhere he digs. He's pulling up fucking people, fucking dinosaurs.
Yeah, it's awesome.
You know, people were criticizing that De Peso, apparently he'd only spent 2 days in Acambaro and he'd only spent about 4 hours examining the collection at Yulsred's home, apparently. So people were like, how could you tell all of this? How could you, you know, you might have saw a fraction of the collection when you didn't see all of them.
Yeah, you're not looking at it. You're not really.
Nobody did.
Listen.
He just walked in and went,
this is fucking stupid.
This is bullshit.
I'm fucking bullshit. I'm fucking up here.
Just scan. Yeah. Did a quick scan, you know, just did a.
This is dumb.
That guy's fucking that dinosaur. These guys are fucking that dinosaur. These guys are fucking dinosaurs.
The second Voldemort tried to get him into his bedroom, he's like, I'm out of here. I'm fucking out. I've had enough. They're not paying me enough for this.
No.
There was no shortage of people, you know, at least in, again, archaeology, still kind of early days, 1950s and such. So there were still people out there that entertain these fantastic ideas, like more so than believers today, I would suppose. Like, you know, because it was like, it's still kind of, I would say like the idea of like humans coexisting with dinosaurs is like, that's always like a prominent thing in like science fiction and stuff, like all of that kind of stuff, time travel or whatever, any of those kinds of themes were still kind of prominent in a lot of like fantasy magazines and stuff around that time. It was very popular. You had, you know, movies that came out always putting, you know, cavemen with dinosaurs and stuff like that, people going to see these.
When did fucking the Flintstones come out? Is that right around this time?
60s.
Yeah, would have been later. But I mean, they still had those things. Like,
are real authentic sculptures of dinosaurs, right? So they're obviously covered in feathers, like we learned in fucking Jurassic Park 1, right?
Right.
Like, they look like dinosaurs that we know.
We have avian dinosaurs and we have reptilian dinosaurs, and there's a big difference. Now we know that a lot of them had feathers and walk on two legs.
So these little sculptures, they had little feathers on them?
I think so, yeah. I think they had feathers hand-painted.
Well, listen, they were probably glued on. They were probably glued on, and the feather and the glue falls apart.
Biodegradable.
Right. Yeah. Right, yeah. Right.
They were made authentic when they were first made. Whatever, thousands of years ago, they were authentic. But they probably actually had real dinosaur feathers too. They plucked those motherfuckers off and glued them to the figurines. And over time,
maybe that's how dinosaurs went extinct. Actually, is because we fucked them all.
Fucked them to death.
We gave them AIDS.
Just like the Neanderthals. Bred them out.
No, nothing safe. There's no cataclysm. No species is safe.
No, man.
Yeah, humans have fucked everything.
Yeah. Fucked them into extinction.
One of the other big names that came down to investigate these claims was Charles Hapgood. So Charles Hapgood was American college professor and he was Harvard trained. Like, this guy was a legit archaeologist, and but he was also kind of a researcher that was known to kind of champion, or at least have an interest in, like, the unconventional scientific theories. And he jumped into the debate pretty quick, you know, challenging a lot of the criticisms that DePeso had made. So,
well, it's not a lot of time. That's not like it's not a lot of time to be like to be taking that to be writing a paper to a magazine,
dude. Hapgood's the guy who, remember, he was the crustal displacement theory, which is his theory was why they found like woolly mammoths and shit frozen, like flash frozen in the tundra with food in their mouth, is because every so many thousands of years, Earth's crust, the weight of it is unbalanced, and it will just shift thousands of kilometers, like almost instantaneously. Just like, bang! And then anything that was like maybe in like a tropical place is all of a sudden in the minus 60
Arctic Circle,
Arctic fucking tundra, and just frozen fucking out. Solid.
Fuck. I'm wearing shorts, and you're like, oh shit.
I mean, if it makes sense in the way is like most of the Earth's crust is on one side of the planet. Like, the Pacific Ocean is here, like massive, and then all the other like surface crust is on the other side. So in his mind, he's like, all right, well, it's spinning. Then centrifugal force of that crust must eventually get slip.
It gets displaced and it slips
and it flies. And all of a sudden, now you're at the fucking North Pole. That was his big thing.
Yeah. Because all continents are floating islands.
Well, they are floating on.
Ready to launch at a moment's notice.
Yeah. But so they could easily just like fucking boom.
Just fucking slingshot.
You've seen the meme of the dinosaurs getting slingshotted off the flat Earth. It actually was a Hapgood's crustal displacement, which just launched dinosaurs. Just
launched them
fucking out of here.
It's just like the pop-o-matic, and it's like pow. and it just like shoot off into space.
They also got shot. Someone into space, someone high up, but then they landed, broke their necks. Everyone died like almost instantly. And it was no fucking asteroid at all.
That makes sense.
Yeah, the G-force is just liquefied every organic matter.
Just fucking annihilated them.
You know what it was? You know what actually happened? We never talked about this. This is my new theory. Craig's, what do you call it when you fucking pull the sheet off the fucking table and all your plates and shit are still there?
Magic.
Right. That's what happened. The displacement happened so fast that it just launches. And then all of a sudden you're in the ocean. Just like, oh, where's the land? What happened? Where'd the land go? That's why there's not a lot of dinosaurs or fossil records, because they all drowned.
They're at the bottom of the ocean. We got to look deeper. Right.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. So Hapgood brought along with him like a pretty, you know, some classical, you know, investigation techniques, you know, legit like radiocarbon dating. So what he did is he arranged for some of the figures to actually be tested for radiocarbon dating. And the results said that when he got them back, they suggested that these things would put them somewhere in a pre-Columbian text. So sometime before Columbus and before the arrival of, you know, Western explorers and European explorers coming over. And so with that, Hapgood also cited the kind of the idea that DePeso had made these claims that when he had observed the excavations of some of these figures going on at the time when he came to visit, he said that some of these, at least one of the excavation sites, the workers who were digging had kind of been like they digged out like a lot of dirt that looked like it had been recently disturbed. And even some was actually like that. He's like, that's manure. Like that's shit. Like that's literally shit that they're digging up. And so he was saying that, you know, it's of course, like this is totally fake. They just backfilled it in. But Hapgood had an answer for that too. And he said that, you know, what do you think you would do to discourage people from stealing these things? Like if you're in the middle of like digging these things up,
throw shit
on them. Like, you know, that was Hapgood's idea. And
backfilled to like hide them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you put shit in there because that would actively discourage anybody going in there. Like, not honestly, me. Like, I read that.
Anytime
I was like, that's
I'm
actually,
digging and I find buddy, shit, I go, I keep reasoning. Digging.
Buddy, a peso's a peso, pal.
That's true.
I'll dig some shit.
So Hapgood's putting these, the carbon dating at pre-Clump. So we're like, what Columbus was that? Like 1500 or something?
Aren't these made of, like, isn't this made of clay though? Like, can you not? I don't think you can carbon date clay.
Well, what they did was they radiocarbon dated the organic material that was in the same area, like at the same depth of, shit? Not the shit. Like,
the shit can't be that old, right? It's not prehistoric.
Probably
like,
not. No. So it would be gone. So with that, you know, with that data in hand, like Hapgood said that, you know, this supports the theory that these things are ancient, that these things are crafted by a civilization that either
coexisted,
you know, at some time coexisted with dinosaurs or had some type of cultural memory of dinosaurs that they are detecting, or even, you know, just to be, you know, on the little bit of a more, I guess, plausible side, is that they had actually like seen dinosaur skeletons.
Dude, that was my theory. That's why I thought too, because we attribute to like dinosaurs to like what, early 1800s, we found some bones and we're like, these have never, ever been unearthed before, ever on this planet. We will name all these dinosaurs and whatever Latin names we choose. So for only a couple hundred years, we've known of dinosaurs. But you just got to think of all the civilizations over the whole world building these mega structures and all the, you think eventually someone would dig up a bone and be like, the fuck is that?
Yeah.
The fuck is
that? It's a dragon.
It's a dragon. Yeah. Right. So yeah, maybe like, just like all of everything else in North America, we came over here. The white man found it. And we're like, yeah, that's us.
We found this.
We found that shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, maybe they just, the civilization, let's say, just knew of, even if they weren't living with dinosaurs. I mean, come on, probably not living with dinosaurs. But if they just for generations, maybe they found a couple like partial skeletons, and like that was like, humans have very creative brains. So you take that one skeleton, it looks like that, and now you're making clay fucking models of different skeletons, kind of the same. A little bit like that. A little bit. This one looks like a lizard, a Komodo dragon. This one looks like, oh, what do we know that walks on four legs as a horn? Oh, it's a some type of buffalo or like a bison. Okay, but yeah. We'll make that more like a lizard. That's another dinosaur.
Now
and
fuck
keep,
it.
And he's keep going. And now fuck it.
Make one of us fucking it.
So yeah, with Hapgood in the corner of, you know, supporting these figures, they regain a measure of mystique. They get back like a lot of what DePeso was kind of just out of hand dismissing these things. Hapgood comes in and says we should perhaps look consider harder. These. Yeah. Like well, we should consider he, these
Hapgood
more closely.
Hapgood takes the stance on which you should is like this other guy came in, looked for 4 hours. He goes, fake, doesn't even do anything else. Fake, walks out of the house. He doesn't look at them. He's taking them. He goes, well, we should look at it from the lens of if they're real. And we should do tests to determine that.
Are they all, like, they're not all dinosaurs, obviously.
All the figures?
Yeah.
No,
not all of them are dinosaurs. Not all of them
are any of them, like, let's say, like a jaguar or something like that, like any type of, like, animals that they would have definitively had?
There's, like, 33,000. There's a lot of them.
Yeah. Well, so there's a finite amount of them, though. You can see the majority of them.
I only looked at the ones depicting humans fucking them.
Yeah.
The lizards.
Dinosaur
so
nobody's erotica.
So yeah. People are only fucking dinosaurs.
Well, maybe there's a couple pumas in there. I don't know.
The people, like, obviously he got more excited.
It might have been
Pumas
in there,
ones.
But they weren't fucking him because I wasn't looking at them.
Yeah. If you Google it right now, I'm looking at them a lot. Yeah, there's a guy riding a triceratops. There's a guy fucking a triceratops. There's one that looks like a seal. There's one that looks,
there's so one that looks like a guy.
It's a triceratops, yeah. Is what you're saying?
Yeah.
And then, 100%.
And then, like Zell said, there's a seal. There's one that looks like a guy fucking a seal.
Yeah, like what there's else? A lot of weird shit.
Oh, he's fucking a seal.
Yeah.
They're everything. Oh, I think it's a lot of animals that are probably either like would have been native or, you know, there's ones, yeah, definitely ones that wouldn't.
There's the motherfucking chupacabra, all right?
And there's a chupacabra.
There's a chupacabra in there. It looks like.
And then there's one of us fucking a chupacabra.
Yeah, there's another one.
Okay. Cool. There's one chupacabra doing reverse doggy. It's insane. This collection's expansive.
So the figures. You know, they garner interest all the way up until into the 1960s. So in the 1960s, another kind of prominent figure brings these figures into the public eye, a guy by the name of Earl Stanley Gardner, who is the creator of Perry Mason.
I fucking love
the creator
Mason.
Of Perry
really?
Mason.
Yeah. Perry Mason rocks.
Yeah. People who aren't familiar, like, Perry Mason is
detective turned lawyer.
Well, he's he's like a defense attorney who solves mysteries and
well, he started off as a detective, so he's a little greasy. Fought in World War One. Guy's a badass. Yeah, I love Perry Mason.
And so Gardner, like, is a huge kid. Like Perry Mason novels, there's like 82 of them. There's 4 short stories. There was a radio series. There was a TV series. I think I remember the TV movies when I was a kid.
The HBO series is fucking awesome too. The new one.
So yeah, but also apparently Earl Stanley Gardner is not only a prolific author, he was also an amateur archaeologist, and he went to go visit the site of the Ekambaro figures. So he wanted to go do his own investigations. So he traveled there and he wanted to personally investigate these, and he met with Waldemar and, you know, talked with him and kind of conducted his own examination of this collection that Gardner that Waldemar had on his hands. And so he took photographs of the figures, he interviewed locals, probably solved a couple murders while he was there, I don't know, like but after he came back, he like got a bunch of experts, because I mean you're a famous author at that point, you could probably pull in you got a lot of pull, and he's bringing all these people in.
Well, he's got some
to
money
kind of,
too, right?
He's got the Perry money.
He's got the Perry Mason money, and he's like, so he's pulling in archaeologists, geologists, other scientists to analyze these figures and, like, you know, perform their own studies, funded studies on these things to figure out to try and authenticate these figures and kind of figure out exactly where they are. So some of these techniques that they use one of the techniques that's mentioned is thermoluminescent dating, which is like a technique that apparently that they use to date ceramics by measuring the light that's released from it when a sample is heated. And that was one of the ones that they did. So when they did the thermoluminescent dating, I think they actually did it twice. And in the first time, it kind of seemed when they ran it through the first time, they said that these actually look like they could be pretty ancient, like the lights that it's giving out, the spectrum that they're detecting, that specific thing, wavelength, was like, this shows that these are quite old. But the thing is, like, when they ran it like a second time, like down the line, there was another study done like later decades. And they're like, no, like they did it wrong, apparently. So they're like, you know, and these are actually a little bit more recent than those, the first study would have indicated. Like, because when they first did it, they thought these things, they dated these to an age of somewhere around 2500 BC, yeah, is what their original study is. But with these, with that initial study and that kind of like almost confirming for at least for Gardner that these things could perhaps be older than previously thought, he published like an entire book about it. It called the Host with the Big Hat, which I think you can't really find it anymore. It's like in print. It's definitely out of print. Like, you can't really find it anymore. I tried to find it. I couldn't find this thing.
Not the
but
best
it actually
name.
And it detailed his whole investigation about these things. And he just, you know, he kind of came along. He kind of came in line with Hapgood saying that these figures just warranted further study. And you can't just dismiss them outright as a hoax. Like, there's something, maybe there's something here. But, you know, and after that, like these figures just like they have always, it's just, to me, I find it really interesting that these figures have just like maintained like a type of mystique that they do an appeal.
The collections like almost always stayed completely intact. Like there was a handful that I guess ended up in Philadelphia and then got sold off in an estate sale, and they don't know where some of them are. Other than the one that's in the bed and breakfast.
I actually have one right here. I'm going to get it. 1 second.
Like when I was watching the documentary about this, they were like, yeah, we found like they found a bunch of these just like packed up in boxes in some storage unit or something, like in the basement of some house. They're just like, they found like all of these figures like that were part of the collection, I guess, like a fraction of it. And then Zell's going to show us his.
That's good.
That's,
yeah.
It's some type of upright walking avian dinosaur, I believe.
Yeah.
I have the love child.
With a trench coat and a cane.
Yeah. That one.
Yeah. Andrew's got one too. See?
They're not that rare. Mine's not sitting in here, but I got one too.
They're around.
The interesting thing is though with the dating is like you have some of these like, you know, some of them dated, they're like, oh, 2500 BC, and then another study's done later and they're like, ah, maybe not. But I'm like, you know, I look at these things and is it possible that some of them are that old? Some of them are that old and some of them are not. Some of them are just, you know, made because people want like, hey, fuck, this guy's handing out pesos if you fucking for these things. So like maybe when they're getting tests, like I couldn't find anything saying they're testing the exact same ones or the same. They're just testing a collection of the figurines.
Well, they're saying they can't, right? You can't date them. You can't date like terracotta. You can't date clay. You have to date the, unless there is organic material embedded in the objects themselves.
Right.
Some type of like organic something.
Yeah. And I mean, I always find it interesting in these kinds of cases where it's like you have these artifacts that are initially found and then there's a big hoopla about them and they find them. They're like, oh, these things are, you know, going to rewrite history. And then, you know, people come along, there's multiple studies done where people are like a little bit more skeptic and you're like, okay, you know, maybe not as old as that and whatever, but they don't lose anything because people constantly trot these things out every single chance that they get. Ancient Aliens, you know, young creationists, young Earth creationists have this, like they got a hard on for these things.
Oh yeah.
Like they're everywhere.
They're like, this proves it. This proves their story.
You know, I thought about this, like, remember Prince of Egypt, the movie?
Yeah.
With Jake Gyllenhaal starring Egyptian. Jake Gyllenhaal.
I'm talking about the cartoon.
That's Prince of Persia.
OG. you know when like Moses is having a showdown with those two Egyptian sorcerers and they're like trying to prove like, oh, this is God. Like, look at this burning bush. And then the Egyptian guys are doing some bullshit. Like, imagine if fucking Moses is like, just puts the figurines down. It's like, case closed, bitch.
Yep.
It's over. God, right there.
My God. Right?
But like you read on Reddit about this and they're like, Christians are like, you're fucking blind. Like this is everything you need to know right here. That God exists. You
don't need anything more than this. We fucked the dinosaurs.
We did.
And that proves that Jesus was here.
So yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, you can kind of put these figures, like, I don't know, if you're going to go into, I guess if you're going to go into things like, okay, do these figures represent, you know, evidence of a relict population of dinosaurs? Because that's always kind of been a thing, like Mokili Mbembe and in Africa or whatever. And like some of these, where it's like some of these cryptids that people have cited, they thought that perhaps, you know, there are those who think that these could be dinosaurs that didn't go extinct somehow, that they had survived for 65 million years. some of these isolated locations, you know, or even this one, because like Zell said, like, you know, is it possible that the, you know, we had like a Lost World type of situation, you know, or what's the Savage Land, like in Marvel Comics, you know,
X-Men, it's
like,
yeah.
So is there like a possibility that there's a small population of dinosaurs that existed up until some point where these figures were crafted by a civilization?
Dinosaurs again still exist. That's what people forget.
Yeah,
a lot of them just evolved into like fucking birds and other like other shit. Like the blueprint for the dinosaur is in that fucking pigeon, man. It's right there. It's just really small, and I mean, it's not going to eat you in one bite.
But Komodo dragons are fucking dinosaurs.
That's what I mean. There
they're
was
lizards.
Crocodiles are dinosaurs.
Well, that's what they said. Like, so now we know that there's avian type dinosaurs, the ones that walked on two legs, kind of like a bird, and the way they moved and behaved.
Ostriches, dinosaurs.
Exactly. And then there was reptilian dinosaurs, like fucking crocodiles, and all that shit was living back then too. It's like the same timeline. We still have the saltwater crocodile is a fucking dinosaur. Thing is 20 feet long.
100%.
It just eats random German tourists 40 times a year. Like it's a dinosaur.
Yeah,
it's a dinosaur.
It's a weird stat. Dan, that's a problem in Australia. The German tourists don't read the signs and they get eaten.
Okay.
They go swimming
40
in the river,
times a year.
Something like that.
No, they fucking saw old fucking Voldemort statues and they want to fuck them.
They're going for it.
That's all it is. They're testing the fucking. They know.
Yeah,
old Uncle fucking Voldemort told them you can fuck them. We seen it in the statues. We're going to try.
I don't know how you're going to fuck them. Statues say you can fuck them.
Gotta find a way.
Show them like the booklet. They're like, here, look.
Diagram.
Eternal life.
Now, see, I think I agree with, you know, with Zell, where it's, you know, I think it's naive to think that the discovery of dinosaur remains is something that like is recent. I think ancient cultures have probably also found dinosaur remains. I mean, a fucking kid found a Tyrannosaurus Rex skull in fucking Tumblr Ridge on a riverbed. You know what I mean? Like
Tumblr Ridge, like
BC? BC, yeah.
What?
Yeah, dude. And then the
T-Rex kids infested North America when it lived.
Yeah,
infested.
And then kids found fucking in the riverbed, preserved footprints in Tumblr Ridge as well. Like, so it's like to tell me that like ancient cultures, there was no way they could have found this stuff and fucking dug it up. They 100% did, right? They 100% would have dug this shit up and at least come across some of them. So it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibilities that they would see these things and maybe put them together in their head of how they might look. The other thing is like, I also like, there's a burning bit of me inside where I go like, you know, every time we think we're like, yeah, no, this is where human history starts. We just fucking blow past that like line in the sand we draw. And we're like, nope, forget everything you knew. It's even further than that now. And part of me doesn't wonder if there was ever like maybe some sort of human overlap. And we just like are so naive to think that like we know everything. We're like, there couldn't have possibly happened. It's what an impossibility.
Well, it's not like dinosaurs died instantly. Like, if you go with the theory, like the fucking asteroid hit, huge shockwaves, massive fires, massive climate change. But they didn't. You know, all the dinosaurs just died overnight. It probably took millions of years for them to really die out.
Continental displacement. Once, I mean, they all ended up in the ocean.
Yeah, that's true.
Like
they all got launched into the ocean with a quick crustal shift. The asteroid actually was what triggered the crustal shift. We've put two theories together.
Right.
Asteroid hit the crust, didn't like that, slipped out.
No, the fucking crust slipped the asteroid.
Slipped
it was
boom.
Like fucking whoop.
Quick dip.
Not going to hit me.
Now we took it right in the ocean. Yeah, so, I mean, there's all those stories of, you go look on Reddit, there's fucking stories of, we were flying over this region and we've seen dinosaurs, we must have, and then we went back and they weren't there. But just imagine Someone's fucking Amazon jungler somewhere deep in the Congo. And just a fucking small, like little, like, mini T-Rexes that have just evolved down into, like, all like an ostrich size, but it still looks like a T-Rex. Like, big fucking teeth and shit. We just find it.
I've seen them in Lost World. They're the little bastards that eat you.
Yeah.
Little compies.
Yeah, compies. There
not fine.
What's the guy, got eaten in the riverbed?
Which guy?
Dennis Nedry?
Dennis Nedry. Oh, yeah.
No, he got eaten in the riverbed too, but in the Lost World, he goes to take a piss. For some reason, he takes a piss. Like, he just goes on a journey to take a piss.
He's probably got a tiny dick.
He doesn't. The guy who tased him? Yeah. You talking about that guy?
Yeah. But he's like,
No. At the beginning.
Different guy?
No, I thought there was
the kids got eaten by the one. The one girl got eaten.
The other guy
had the cattle prod, and
that guy who's got to take a piss. He's like, Carl, I got to go take a piss. But Carl's listening to his fucking Mexican tunes.
Yeah,
doesn't hear him.
Yeah. So he walks a kilometer.
Across the whole island to just take a piss, and then he gets
why reading. Would you? You're literally on an island packed full of like nature's killing machines for millions of years, and you're like, I'm gonna go take a piss by myself. Like, what the fuck? Dude,
the guy, you know what you're there for. You've got guns. You know what you're hunting. And so I'm just gonna take a quick piss. I'm just gonna jog across the island to take a quick one.
Yeah. Why? why you can't piss in front of your buddy? Like, just be like, dude, I'm just gonna piss here so I don't get fucking eating.
Even if you had to take a shit, I would take a shit right in front of you. I wouldn't care. I would just be like, I got to take a shit.
There are
just
drop raptors it. Buddy, out there.
Zell's
there
done that in Pasadena.
I'll shit. I have no
zero dinosaurs.
I don't care. I'll shit right in front of you if there's dinosaurs involved. I'm not walking up. Anyways, what are we talking about?
It just, to me, I'm like, you know, I think a handful of these are probably real and were found and are older than the rest. But I do think it's a little bit of like, you know, you're in a poverty stricken area and you start offering incentive. People start going like, well, fuck. Yeah, I can fucking whip a couple of these things
up. Get the Play-Doh out, buddy. Yes. Let's go.
Yeah.
My kids just got out of school. Here, throw these together. if not the figurines themselves, I look at them and I'm like, you know, it's really hard to be like, yeah, these look as ancient as they are claimed to be. But the idea that ancient cultures had some idea that, you know, finding ancient skeletons, because it's like, if you found the skeleton of like a stegosaurus, like a relatively complete intact, like part of it, like the big fucking, the back pieces, the thagomizer or whatever now, like the spikes on the back. If you found that floating around, especially even the one that they found the ankylosaur, like the entire thing, like laid out like that. No, they had like the entire like body, like it's like a petrified, like,
It's one of those wild.
And I'm like, dude, if you found that and you were in ancient culture and you just came across one of those, you'd be like, what the fuck is this? And then you'd want to represent it in art, I suppose. Like, you know, I mean, it would be hard for me to get behind the idea that they, you know, they're one of those things that like they found like just a tooth and they're like, from that, they put together a dragon or something.
No, they would
like
have to find multiple.
Yeah, a pretty complete one. But it's like, it could happen. Like, it's not unknown to happen. So
there's, but like I said again, it's like this split in the archaeology community in this, because like I listened to a podcast with Dr. David S. Anderson and he was shitting on these things for an hour, and then at the end, like, one of the hosts is like oh man, like, it must have been cool like seeing these things though up close. He's like, well, I've actually never seen one. The only one I've ever seen is in this bed and breakfast. And I'm like, And then the follow-up question was like, well, aren't you like interested? And he goes, no, I'm not interested at all. And it's like, you've made such a determination on these things without ever seeing them yourself. I just find that mindset fascinating to me, because I'm like, you could never convince me of anything until I need to see it myself. I need to go see anything? These dinosaurs. No,
anything?
Anything?
Nothing.
Anything?
Right. Convince me of something. Right. Don't believe
I can't. You said nothing.
Nothing. But I mean, especially if I was in the community, I'd be like, well, I'd want to, especially when you look, there's varying degrees and there's so many of these things, you'd be like, Well, until we do an analysis of every single fucking one of these things and make a determination of what's, yeah, make a determination.
Where's the threshold though? Like, where's the threshold? You do like, you get to like 5,000. You're like, these 5,000 are fake.
Well, listen,
we have to do the rest.
Listen, we start with the fucking ones, all the dinosaur fucking ones, because those are
probably real.
Those are the moneymakers.
Those are the moneymakers. And then we go from there.
Have we tried smashing them open just to see what's inside? Maybe there's like a hidden message in there. Don't even know.
Well, oddly enough, they're all intact. None of them are broken.
We should smash those fuckers open.
Not a single one throughout all of history are unbroken.
Andrew, that's not true. There is some broken. There are some that are broken, but not a single piece is missing.
Close accidentally fucking sat on them.
No, there's not a single missing piece. Like, you could put it together. All the pieces are there as well.
Yeah,
that's pretty crazy.
Yeah. I was just fascinated by the documentary that I saw. It's like they went into this giant room and they're just like, there's more boxes back here. Like, they got into this like big storage room, like in a basement of a house, and they're like, oh, there's like 10 more boxes back here of these things.
I watched the Christian version.
Oh, nice.
It was great. It was really, you found it on YouTube, it was an hour long, and they're like, when we initially went to Akinbaro, the police had these locked away. And we had to bargain with them. And they were trying to hide the truth.
We had to bargain with the police.
It was great.
They're probably the federales. Get these guys to pay to see these things.
Oh, yeah.
It was phenomenal. But like the whole time, they're like, fucking told you.
This is the proof.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it is a weird divide in like the religious community of dinosaurs aren't real or we live with dinosaurs. It's really nothing in between. What does it matter? I guess we don't have there's fucking.
Where's the religious one that we fuck the dinosaurs? We'll be on that one.
It is a weird thing because I'm like, there's a real sect that are like that dinosaurs don't exist because God didn't create them, and then there's another sect that's like, we lived with them and we are fucking them.
Well, I mean,
they died in the flood, I guess.
David Icke, he's all about the lizard people.
The flood would have washed them away. Yeah, definitely. Like, there's nothing left. They didn't get on the fucking boat, all right?
Except for the aquatic dinosaurs, I guess.
They could swim.
The aquatic ones can. That's why we still have crocodiles
and shit.
That's
why they survived.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There you go. And the bird ones flew.
I don't know. I've had this argument when I was in school, when I was really young in Adventist school. I didn't even think about it. But when I got to like grade 7, which was my last year there, I remember like having big, long conversations with the science. Like, he was just the teacher. He taught everything. His name is Mr. Apodori. Super, really, really fucking smart guy. Probably the smartest teacher I ever had. In grade 7, I was doing math like years ahead of where I got
to. Was he though? Because he thought you were fucking dinosaurs. So
I'm going to get to that. But he was like a really smart guy, but when it came to like creation, like the Big Bang, he's like, that's ridiculous. We couldn't have just come from a snap, like a pop, and everything popped into existence. And then I go back to the Bible and I said, he legit just spoke and everything came into his existence. What's the difference? And he was like, well, God did it. So therefore, and I was like, oh my God, I'm out of the school. Get me out of here.
This You're is like, insane. Mom, put me in public school.
Let me die with let me die with the rest of them. Like, I was just like, well, what's either way? I mean, we're just trying to come up with the start of the universe. That's fine. God snapped his fingers and it came into existence, or something popped, Big Bang, whatever. We're still trying to just figure it out. We don't really, you have no idea. And then for me, when he was this like hard stance, like, no, God snapped his fingers and spoke, let there be light, and the light popped on. I was like, and then I remember even asking him, like, how did God get there?
Yeah, where is he from?
Where he's from.
Who made him?
He's like, he's the all powerful, omnipotent, omnipresent. He's always been here and he's made everything. And I went,
yeah.
That seems very convenient.
So why did he create evil then?
That's not a whole nother conversation. Okay. It's the reverse God theory. We're bringing it back. That's a callback to one of our very first episodes. We said we'd do a case file on it. God's not who you think he is. He's the bad guy. And that's why murder, death, war, famine. All exist
because we fucked.
Because we fucked dinosaurs. The dinosaurs. Yeah,
that's why. It's punishment.
Those are his best.
Those are his punishment. Yeah,
I'm curious if any of our listeners have ever seen any of these things. So let us know. Let us know if you've ever
stolen one and then send it to us.
Stolen one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Have you been to a bed and breakfast where one of these?
Let us know. We did have a theory of the week.
You pretty much gave it to at the start of the episode. It was
Sweeney.
Mr. Sweeney
Todd.
Sweeney Todd.
Sponsoring the Hollywood Zell.
Hollywood Zell transformation. Ooh,
yeah. It's coming.
Zell,
I didn't
Zell
give a timeline on it, though, so it could be anytime. It could be fucking next Halloween for all you know. Well, first, I have to grow the fucking handlebar out. I just shaved last week.
So. You don't listen to rules. You're an NWO now.
Yeah. Fuck you.
You don't gotta follow rules. Whatever you come out when you want.
Yeah.
Oh, bam, oh my bam, God. Bam, you gotta play the guitar bam, when you bam, debut it. Bam, you gotta play the NWO yeah. song. Yes.
As he's talking.
Fuck, that'd be cool.
I'll set up the wireless guitar so I can play from, I'll like walk in, but I'll be bam, playing from bam, outside bam. Still.
The entire fucking episode, you're trying to get a edge.
Anytime there's any point trying to be made, I'm just going to fucking shit all over you with the guitar. I'm going to crank it too on my mic, so that's all you hear is this. That's it.
But yeah, that's a thank you to Sweeney for making that dream come true.
Now we have to figure out another goal.
Yeah. We'll get. Stay tuned.
We'll figure out something. Who's up? Is Dan? Dan's up for a goal here.
Nope. All right, you got mine.
You got mine.
He's got his Guy Fieri hat. Oh, it's me. It's me now.
Dan, so. Brayden doesn't need shit. No goals for Brayden. Look at this guy. He's full. Look at all the goals on his back wall here. Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you got? What do you get a guy with everything?
Can't give him nothing.
No. I think a couple cool things.
If you're not supporting the show, you know what to do by now. You got to go to alientheorist.com.
Fuck you.
If you're not fucking dinosaurs by now, go to alientheorist.com. Hit that support tab. Support your boys. Support your favorite podcast. This week's new supporters, we got Joshua Merman, Gillybird, Rosella. That's it. I recognize the next name, so I must have been the one I read last time. So thank you very much for supporting the show.
Appreciate you.
Hey, listen, there's never been more bonus shit for you. Just saying, right? Like, we've been on a fucking roll 2024. Fucking daddies and baddies, confidentials. You get Cosmic Channels early. You get tons of stuff. Get on there. It's been awesome.
More or D&D's maybe it hasn't. Coming. I don't know.
That's awesome. You tell us.
You tell us.
We've been getting good reviews lately.
Yeah. PopCon. Yeah, PopCon.
PopCon. You get access to our Discord server. A bunch of new people have been popping in there lately.
Yeah, I've been throwing people the middle finger in Discord when it comes in.
Yep.
That's my emoji that pops up my first one.
Double birds.
And as we always say at the end of these things, keep those eyes on the skies.
See you after.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.